Ever wondered how anyone really knows if a company's financial numbers are, accurate?
It seems daunting, right?
Yeah.
Imagine checking every single transaction.
Exactly. So today we're diving into audit evidence. It's basically the bedrock of trust in all that financial reporting. Our mission is simple: give you a shortcut to understanding how financial credibility is built. We'll look at what makes evidence good, how auditors pick what to check, the methods they use old and new.
And even how they sometimes lean on the work of others.
Right. So where do we start? What's the core idea here?
Well, fundamentally, it all boils down to getting sufficient and appropriate evidence.
Okay. Sufficient and appropriate. Let's unpack that. Sufficient means.
Sufficient is about quantity. Have you gathered enough evidence? But it's not just counting pages.
Oh, okay.
It's a professional judgment call. It depends on things like the risk involved, how important the item is, materiality, we call it. And, the nature of what's being tested.
So quantity isn't absolute. Can you give an example, like for a bank balance?
Sure. Getting a confirmation letter directly from the bank, that's good, strong evidence. But usually it's not quite enough on its own. The auditor probably also needs to look at the company's bank reconciliation, see how they match their books to the bank's statement, and maybe even redo parts of that reconciliation themselves. Combining those gives you sufficient assurance. It paints a fuller picture.
Right, combining things, that makes sense. So that's sufficiency, the enough. What about appropriate? That's the quality side.
Exactly. Appropriateness is all about the quality of the evidence. And that breaks down into two key things: reliability and relevance.
Reliability and relevance. Okay, what makes evidence reliable?
Reliability is, well, how trustworthy is it?
Yeah.
Generally, evidence from outside, independent sources, is more reliable than stuff the client gives you.
Makes sense. Less bias.
Right. And evidence the auditor gets directly is better than getting it indirectly. Written is better than just someone telling you something. Oh, and original documents beat photocopies.
So like a hierarchy of trust.
Kind of, yeah. The more reliable the evidence, sometimes the less quantity you might need on that specific point.
Okay, got it. And relevance, how does that fit in?
Relevance is crucial. The evidence has to actually relate directly to the specific claim the company is making in its financial statements.
Yeah.
We call these assertions.
Assertions, like what?
Things like, did this transaction actually happen? Occurrence. Is everything recorded? Completeness. Are the numbers accurate? Accuracy. For account balances, does this asset actually exist? Existence. Does the company truly own it? Rights and obligations. Is it valued correctly? Valuation.
So the evidence needs to match the specific question you're asking.
Precisely. Let's take inventory.
Yeah.
If you trace items from the warehouse floor to the accounting records, you're testing completeness, making sure everything physically there is recorded.
Okay.
But if you trace from the accounting records back to the warehouse floor,
You're checking if what's recorded actually exists.
exactly. Same inventory items, but the direction you test determines which assertion you're getting evidence for. Relevance is key.
That really clarifies it. Okay, so auditors have these principles. How do they actually get this evidence? What methods do they use?
They have a whole toolkit. There's inspection, physically examining documents, like invoices for dates or assets, like checking a title deed.
Right, looking at the actual thing.
Then there's observation, watching a process happen, like watching the client count inventory or seeing how duties are segregated.
But that's just a snapshot in time, isn't it?
Absolutely. It
Yeah.
only tells you it worked when you were watching. So useful, but limited.
Okay, what else?
External confirmation is a big one. Getting written responses directly from third parties. Think banks confirming balances or customers confirming how much they owe.
Direct from the source. Powerful.
Very.
Yeah.
Then there's recalculation, checking the math and reperformance independently, doing a control procedure the client
You're
does.
making sure the mechanics work.
And finally, analytical procedures. This involves looking at relationships and trends in financial data.
like comparing this year to last year.
Yeah, or comparing payroll costs to the number of employees. You look for fluctuations or inconsistencies that seem unusual and need investigation.
That's quite a range of techniques. Do they have to do this for every single transaction? That sounds impossible for big companies.
Often, yes, it is impossible, or at least impractical. Sometimes they might test 100%, maybe for a small population of really high-value items,
Okay.
or they might specifically select certain items to test based on risk. But very often they use sampling.
Sampling, so testing a portion to represent the whole.
Exactly. Applying procedures to less than 100% of the items in a population, but in a way that every item has a chance of being selected. The goal is to draw a reasonable conclusion about the entire population based on the sample results.
How has technology impacted this, especially with, you know, massive amounts of data?
Oh, it's been a huge shift, a real game changer in many ways. Auditors now use things like test data.
Test data?
Yeah. Yeah, submitting dummy transactions, some correct, some with deliberate errors, into the client system to see if it processes them correctly and if the controls catch the errors.
Clever. Like a system stress test.
Sort of. And they use specialized audit software to sift through huge volumes of data, extract samples automatically, calculate ratios, identify unusual items according to certain criteria.
And then there's data analytics, DA. I hear that term a lot.
Yes, DA is the big buzzword.
Yeah.
And for good reason. It's really the science of examining typically very large data sets, sometimes the entire population of transactions, to find patterns, anomalies, deviations.
A whole population.
Yeah.
So no more sampling sometimes.
Potentially, yes.
Yeah.
That's one of the big benefits. It can reduce or even eliminate sampling risk for certain tests. It allows for a much deeper understanding of the business, can be more efficient, and can even be better at flagging potential fraud risks.
Sounds amazing. Are there downsides or, like, limitations?
Definitely. The analysis is only as good as the data you feed it.
Right.
Garbage in, garbage out still applies. And critically, DA doesn't replace the auditor's professional skepticism or judgment. It's a powerful tool, but you still need the human element to interpret the results, understand the context, and ask the right questions.
So technology helps, but doesn't automate the whole thinking process.
Not at all. And regulators are still catching up, figuring out how to assess audits that rely heavily on DA. Plus, getting reliable data out of client systems can still be a major hurdle. Auditor expertise in DA is also still developing across the profession.
That makes sense. It's evolving. Now, auditors can't be experts in absolutely everything, right? What if they need specialized knowledge, say, valuing complex financial instruments?
Good point. They can leverage the work of others, but carefully. They might use an expert hired by management, management's expert, like a property valuer.
Okay.
But the auditor has to seriously check them out. Assess their competence, their objectivity, you know, are they biased?
Yeah.
And evaluate if their work is actually appropriate for the audit.
So not just taking their report at face value.
Never. Alternatively, the audit firm might hire its own expert, an auditor's expert for those tricky areas. Again, competence, capability, objectivity are key, and the scope of their work needs to be clearly agreed.
Right. And what about the company's own internal auditors? Can the external auditors use their work?
Yes, potentially. If the client has a strong, effective internal audit function, the external auditor might be able to rely on some of the testing they've already done. This can make the external audit more efficient.
But there must be checks on that, too.
Absolutely. Big checks. The external auditor has to rigorously evaluate the internal audit team. Are they objective? Are they competent? How systematic is their work?
And even then?
Even then, the external auditor must always re-perform some of the work done by internal audit. They need to directly test the conclusions themselves.
So no blindly trusting anyone else's work?
Never. Because at the end of the day, regardless of whether they use management's expert, their own expert, or relied partly on internal audit, the final responsibility for the audit opinion rests solely with the external auditor.
They own the final conclusion.
100%.
Wow. So this deep dive really shows that audit evidence is way more than just ticking boxes. It's this complex mix of quantity, quality, relevance, using human judgment, specialized expertise, and now increasingly powerful technology.
Exactly. It's a strategic investigation, constantly weighing different types of information to build a reasonable basis for trusting the financial statements.
It definitely makes you appreciate the layers involved. It's not just a quick glance.
Not at all. It's about building a robust foundation of evidence.
So perhaps the next time you see a company release its earnings, think about this. Will you view those numbers a bit differently now, knowing the intricate web of evidence and judgment holding them up?